Let's all say amen. I think as we thank all the brothers that have participated thus far in our worship service on this morning, I want to first say good morning to everyone.
Morning.
It's good to see everyone here. Glad to see those that we may have not have seen for a minute, but it's good to see you back able to assemble with the saints. Amen?
Amen.
I think while we're here, we want to realize that, as I like to always start my messages from the pulpit, is letting us understand that we have a God. He is alive. And that's the purpose that we worship him. In Acts chapter 2 and verse 42, when Luke wrote the Acts of the Apostles, he gave those five items of worship. He said when they first worshiped the Lord after his ascension into heaven, Luke wrote in verse 42 of Acts chapter 2, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, that's teaching from the word of God. He said, and fellowship. The word fellowship means to share. What we do is we share with God what God has blessed us with. We give back to God. That's why we have offering. We don't tithe. We give back. We offer to God what God has blessed us with. Back to God. Also in the breaking of bread, Luke wrote, breaking the bread is when we commune with the Lord. That bread represents the body of Christ that was sacrificed on the cross. And the fruit of the vine is the blood that Christ shed for all of us on that cross. So our minds should go back to the suffering that Christ did for us. And then Luke said, also in prayer. We pray to God. Men pray. Amen. When we assemble to God, we pray. We all pray collectively, but it's led. Men lead us in prayer to our God as was done on this morning. And then the Bible says in verse 47, we praise God. The Hebrew writer said, with the fruit of our lips. We don't have instruments up here. We worship God according to the Bible. And so we praise God with the fruit of our lips. We sing a cappella. We sing without the accompaniment of instruments. Amen? And so we praise God. And the Bible says, and they had favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So those are five acts. And my hope this morning is there's someone that be visiting with us on this morning. At the close of my message, you will, after being instructed from the Bible, you will be added to the church. Yeah, the Bible tells us there's only one church, and one has to be added to that church to be saved. No one that is at the age of accountability is saved from their sins until they obey the Lord. Amen? We have to be obedient to the conditions of the Lord. God gave the conditions, and we have to be obedient to them, because Jesus said in John 8:21, if a man die in his sins, where I am, we cannot go. Amen? Amen. All right. I want to say again, good morning. And I'm just excited for what our sister did on yesterday. Amen, somebody. Amen. I did my own count. I didn't wait for that. I counted myself. I counted 6 days sisters. Amen. Yeah, whether you were little, big, or whatever, small, tall, don't matter. We had six, I counted 6 days when I stopped counting. That was a wonderful example of, and it's in my text this morning, of how when you have unity, harmony, and peace, you can do whatever for the Lord. Yeah, so our sisters, brothers, gave us an example. And I want to thank our brothers too, because the brothers sacrificed. Amen? Yeah, the brothers put on those aprons yesterday. Yeah, I was looking there. I saw Brother Ronaldo back there busting suds. I said, go ahead on, Ronaldo. Bust them suds. He looked like he knew what he was doing. Yeah, he was hitting them grits, getting that grits off of that pan. Yeah, all the brothers. No, we worked together. We worked and we served our sisters. Remember, it needs to come from us. We want to be, they showed us yesterday, but we want to also be examples for the congregation that we can work together. And it's right in the word of God. All we have to do is follow the word of God. Amen? Amen. So if you're with us here this morning, you have not been visiting with us. We're studying. I do text preaching from the letters of the Bible. And I think if we stay with the text, the word of God will do what it needs to do in our lives. And so we started in chapter 1. Each chapter has its own theme. And so to recap, the theme of chapter 1 of the Apostle Paul's letters to the Philippians is found in verse 21. Christ is our life. Yeah, I have to understand that Christ becomes my life. I live for Christ. That don't mean I can't enjoy life and do a thing, but Paul said in verse 21, for to me to live is Christ. Paul said that if I live, then Christ is living through me. And in the theme for chapter 2, we're embarking on this morning, of the Apostle Paul's letter to Philippians, is Christ is our example. So not only is he our life, but Christ is our example. That's found in verse 5, where Paul says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. That's next Sunday's message. So again, Christ is not only our life, but Christ is the example for all of us. He's our example. So we just have to go where Paul penned these letters to those Christians in Philippi. And so on this morning, we want to look at the subject. Paul wrote to them, he said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. As a Christian, if I do anything because of strife or vainglory, it is not only wrong, but it is also sinful according to the word of God from the Apostle Paul. Yeah, so this message here, even though it's a message of unity, message of harmony and peace, there's also some individual components that I want to take from the message that I want to apply to Harvest Stroud. Amen? Yeah. The letter was written to the Church of Christ in Philippi. However, it can be applied to any Church of Christ congregation. So the things that Paul wrote to them, we here at Highland Heights can apply those things to ourselves. This chapter begins, as I said, with an emphasis on unity, harmony, and peace. Either there was a present problem or a potential issue that could threaten this body. So when we look at the lesson, if we have an issue with this, the word of God through the Apostle Paul addresses, how do you find unity, peace, and harmony? But now, if there's an issue down the road that's potential, we can, as the expression is, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. We can prevent stuff from growing, amen? But it's right in the word of God. So again, let's look at this from an individual standpoint. I want to make sure that Harvest Stroud rakes in that part of the word of God that applies to me. But also, I want to look at this letter holistically because it is congregational also in its nature. Amen? Amen. Paul said, it was read in our hearing. Thanks, our brother, for reading. Good to see my brother back serving. Amen? Amen. Nate, come on with it. Paul said in verse 1 of chapter 2, and again, I want us to be mindful of, when Paul wrote this letter, it was not written with chapter and verses. Man added chapter and verses, so we can go say, I can say Philippians chapter 2, verse number 1. But that letter was one consistent letter that he wrote to the church. Man then added, separated it, did a decent job, of separated it into chapters and also into verses. Paul said in verse number 1, if there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, many bowels of mercy. Paul identified five things in there. Five things. There is a help that sustains the one who has found spiritual union with Jesus. That's why he said consolation in Christ. When you in Christ, there is some help that you get because of your relationship with Christ. Yeah. And Paul also said, notice, love and care shared by members of the body will move us to cleave to each other. When we start loving and caring for one another, it brings us closer. Yeah. When those are people that are sick, and those people that are sick and shut in, and we go and they are able to have visitors. When we go and visit them, show them some love, show them some care, that makes us closer together. Then he says, fellowship. Notice it, in the Spirit meaning the Holy Spirit gave us the Word of God. When we are in fellowship, it can strengthen us to one another. We become more closer, stronger. When we fellowship, I was just telling Jane, we were talking about next month, Lord said the same, we're going to the TSU relays. Yeah, and hopefully James will be running in the relays, and we're going to be there, and we're going to fellowship. James Jr., we letting you know now, we're going to be there. You're going to have your own cheering crowd. We're going to be there. But me and him, we're going to fellowship one with another. Just like when the sisters went out, we have to fellowship with one another. We just can't come into the building and worship together and then leave and have no connection with nobody. Yeah. We need to be calling, checking on each other. How you doing? Sending cards, sending letters, making texts. Yeah. That's the word fellowship in this text means we are together. So Paul said, not only if you are, and I define the word consolation in Christ, but also if you have that love and care for one another, but also if you have fellowship in the Word of God, then he said, and if bowels and mercies. Bowels is a feeling of caring for someone. It's tender. You know, some people you just care for. Those are your bowels. When you have an affection for some people. Yeah. As our members get older, you got to have an affection for them. That's bowels. Then he said, mercies. Mercies are a feeling of wanting to help someone who is sick or in trouble. It's showing compassion. So as a church, how do we grow closer? When we exercise what the Word of God has said, all we got to do is put it in. Love is an action word. Yeah. So as our members, those that are sick, shut in, those that want to have visitors, and some may not, but those that want to have visitors, some will say, well, just send me cards, send me letters. I don't want any visitors at this time. Respect what people ask. Yeah, you just can't go barging nobody out. Honey, I thought I said we didn't want no visitors. You can't love a person the way you want to. You have to love them in accordance with how they want to be loved. But if they want visitors, then we want to make sure that we are exercising what the Lord says. Amen? And then when you talk about the word consolation, by definition, the word paracletus, it is to try to influence someone by words or advice in Christ. That's what he said, the consolation is Christ. So when we share the word of God with someone, it should help that person in their relationship with God. That's why Paul said that your consolation should be in Christ. It's the Word of God, the Word from God. That's why Christ in chapter 2 becomes our example of how we ought to live. Christ is our example. Amen. And then he says also the word comfort. That word means, notice now, to try to make someone feel less sadness or disappointment with love. Here, when we come, when we recently had those funerals here, as I say when I'm a message, when we have a funeral, threefold. Onefold is we, one, come to repay our respects to the deceased, but secondly, is to comfort those that have lost a loved one. And we do it with love. The word comfort means to, in some texts, it means to lift a person's spirit up by your love that you show them. So we have to do it in love. Paul said, not only consolation in Christ, but he said comfort with love. Then he says also the fellowship. And then Paul told them, when you show bowels and mercy towards someone, notice what Paul said it does for him in verse number 2. He said, fulfill ye my joy, that you be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and one mind. Paul said, when you fulfill all of those areas I just talked about in verse 1, Paul said, you make me happy. Yeah. Why you make me happy? Paul said, because you are like-minded. We have the same love. And we have to be on one accord. Amen, somebody. And one mind. Paul's joy in life was related to spiritual matters more so than the pleasures of the world. Nothing wrong with enjoying life. But Paul was one, and we want to go to that point, that my joy comes in spiritual things. Yeah, and nothing wrong with enjoying the Super Bowl, but my Super Bowl happens 52 times a year when I'm able to come and worship God. Yeah, that's my Super Bowl. That's my NBA championship. That's my World Series. Nothing wrong with joining them, but because the Lord has blessed me every Sunday that I'm able to assemble to worship God, I'm going to be here if I'm able. And I want to encourage those that we've seen now coming and those that are at home. And God knows, you don't have to share anything with anybody. God knows your situation and circumstance. Amen? Amen? Yeah, so if you're able and able to assemble, I want to encourage all of us to come and assemble. Amen. Yeah, the pandemic is over. Long gone. And sometimes if we're not careful, we can get comfortable. Yeah. Just worshiping God at home. But again, if I'm able, I should be assembling with the saints. Amen? Amen. Bible tells us in 1 Corinthians 11:20, when they therefore came together in one place. Yeah. For those that are sick and shut in, that's why we have our conference call. That's why we have YouTube and live streaming for those that are not able to assemble. But if you are able, this is where you want to show that love. Amen? Amen. So Paul said, again, Paul said, it brings me joy when this congregation shows that consolation in Christ, that comfort of love, that fellowship in the Spirit, and then they show their bowels and mercies toward other people. Paul said, now, just be like-minded, that you be like-minded. We have the same love one for another. We are on one accord, and again, I can't commend our sisters enough how they was on one accord yesterday. Everything went smooth. The brother was on one accord. Everything went smooth. We got assignments, and we did what we was asked to do. That's what Lord want to see. And also, we have one mind. That one mind comes from the scripture. Note what Paul said to the Corinthian church in 1 Corinthians 1:10. He said, now I beseech ye, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak the same thing, that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. How can we be speak the same thing? How can we be in the same mind? How can we be in the same judgment when everything we speak, say, comes from the Word of God? That's how we're on the same page. Well, St. Paul said that there be no division. Division here means disagreement that causes people in a group to argue among or about something. Yeah, there ought not be no disagreements. Yeah. That old expression, I'll agree to disagree, that's letting the devil get in his way. Yeah, I don't agree to disagree. We got to find what the word of God says. And we agree on that. We'll agree on that. So Paul said that there be no divisions among you, that you be speak the same thing. How do we speak? From the word of God. From the word of God. What does the word of God say? We got to be mindful that even when we are among ourselves in the brotherhood, we got to make sure that people are speaking according to the word of God and rightly dividing that. And then my title, Paul said in verse number 3, he says here, my title, he said, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. He said, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem other better than themselves. Yeah, Paul said, the word nothing means not anything. I shouldn't do nothing through strife or vainglory. But Paul said, I got to have a lowliness of mind. What is lowliness? Lowliness is the quality of not thinking you are better than other people. It's humility. And the word esteem means to think about persons before you do something. Yeah, so what Paul was saying here, whatever we do, let's make sure I put other people before me. In this congregation, got to learn to put other people before me. And then I got to esteem them better than myself. They come before me. Lowliness has to do with a humility in the sense that I take myself out and I put others in. Because Paul said if we do it that way, then God is pleased. Then the word strife, let me share that with us so we'll know. The word strife in this context means speaking to win followers. A group within a larger group that has different ideas and opinions than the rest of the group, it's a faction. What it is. Yeah. In other words, if we here start having rivalries with each other, then what we do, now I get my own group. From within this congregation, I get my own group. I got different ideas, I got different opinions than the rest of the group, and now that's a faction. And I'm doing it. I'm trying to win followers. So the Lord tell all of us, let's make sure we're not doing that. Mm-hmm. Amen? So again, this is one to all. Even if it was to the church at Philippi, it's to Highland Heights Church of Christ. Let us be careful. Be careful. That I'm not getting a little group with me from the big group. It causes, that strife is the end result. Why? Because we're rivaling against one another. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, this applies to anybody. Applies to Brother Stroud, anybody else. So if I'm doing this, I'm in sin, I'm wrong. You see me, anybody in the congregation, see, well, Brother Stroud got this group together. He called us together, and he told us about this here. I'm in sin, and I'm wrong. You need to call me on it. Brother Stroud, you just preacher, you wrong. You wrong for calling the group together and then trying to get them to, no, that's sin. That's what the word means. Yeah. So Paul said, be careful. Now, whether this church had it, well, we got an issue. Two sisters was going at it, and we get to chapter 4. They had an issue. Yeah, two sisters he had to talk about. They were going at it in the church. Oh, we ain't got two sisters here going at it. Well, guess what? We're human and it happens. Yeah. Lord, especially sometimes we can't set horses. Yeah. And so when we can't set horses, what we need to do, we need to get together and talk. Yeah. As the brother shared with me, communication is the most important thing. We got to communicate and share with one another. But again, this is to help us be whole. Then he defined the word vainglory. Here. Go to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. And the verse is number one. Let you use your Bibles this morning. Those that brought your Bibles, use your Bibles this morning. Matthew chapter 6. The word vainglory means useless honor. Vain means useless. The word glory means honor. Now notice what Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse number 1. He said, take heed that you do not your alms. The word alms means giving, gift giving. He said, before men. Take heed that you don't do it before men to be seen of them. Otherwise, you have your reward. You have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. In other words, if I give something to somebody and I'm doing it trying to get honor, the Lord said, Jesus said here, you did it to be seen. You want honor. That honor is no good. Jesus said it's useless. He said, you have no reward from the Lord. When you do things, Jesus even told us, he said, therefore, verse number 2, when thou doest thy alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogue or in the street, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. He said, but when you give your alms, verse number 3, let not your left hand know what your right hand doing. When you do things for people, don't blow no trumpet. The only person should know that you gave something to somebody ought to be the person and God in you. That's how quiet we ought to keep it. And the Bible said, when you do it that way, notice what Jesus said, that thy alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. And sometimes we do things for people, God will bless us, but that's not the intent of doing it. Yeah, because sometimes God allows people to be in positions and situations where you can help people. And whenever you're able to help people, you help people. The Bible says, especially those of the household of faith, do good unto all men. Yeah. Do good unto all men. Go look at your Bible, Galatians chapter 6. I like to say things without showing scripture. I don't like to assume that people know. I think I'm getting an echo back here, my brothers, on my volume from here. I know I'm hearing it, an echo. Yeah, thank you. Yeah, in Galatians chapter 6, yeah. And the verse is number 10. Well, I'll start at verse 9, because it tells us that. He said, and let us not be weary in well-doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. So he said, don't get tired of doing good for people. Yeah. As we therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men. However, there's a level above, especially unto them which are of the household of faith. Yeah. The Lord said we do good to all men, but especially those in the body of Christ. Yeah, we do good. We can help anybody, but especially those. We do good. And what we do when we do that good that Paul's talking about, then we are what God would have us to be. Because Paul said, talking about that vainglory and talking about that strife. Notice he says 2 Corinthians 12 in verse number 20. He said, for I fear, Paul said, I'm concerned, I fear, lest, he said, when I come, he was telling the church in Corinth in his second letter. He said, when I come, I shall not find you such as I would, and that I shall be found unto you such as you would not. In other words, when I come to see y'all, y'all not getting along where you're supposed to. Somebody come and visit us, holler, hi, and we're not as we ought to be. He said, I come to visit y'all, man, y'all got stuff going. What's going on with y'all? Then he identified what's going on. He said, lest there be debates, envies, wrath, strife, backbiting, whispering, swelling, and torments. Now, the word debates mean anger and disagreement. Somebody come here and they find us anger and in disagreement. That's debates. Secondly, backbiting. That means to say mean or spiteful things about a person. Now, the difference between backbiting and whispering, backbiting, you say it openly. You biting somebody in the back. Now, whispering is the same thing, but you're doing it in private. Yeah. So he said, when I come there, don't there be no arguments, Holland Heights. Yeah. No envying. I'm jealous of somebody because somebody has something. We ought to be thankful. When the Lord bless somebody with something, be thankful for them. Brother get a new house, brother get a new car. Praise, rejoice with them that rejoice. That's what the Lord said. Yeah. He said that in Romans. Let me get scripture on that. So when something happens to somebody, you know, let me just tell you this here. If something good happened to somebody and you hear about it and you get a little mad, you got envy. You are jealous. Because the Lord says, I'm giving you scripture, Romans 12, 15, rejoice with them that do rejoice. Then he also says, weep with them that weep. That's why we come to funerals. Because we are sad with other people that are sad. We weep with them. But he also says, when something brings joy to a person, you ought to have joy for them also. They get a new job. They get something good happens in their life. We ought to rejoice with them. Yes, Paul said, if you're not, that's where strifes come in, backbiting, whispering. And he says, again, whispering means that's silent slander. I get in private and I say something about a person. That's wrong. Amen. Then he says swelling. That means I get puffed up with pride. All those things, Paul said, I come there and those things that I find are not there. And then my last verse, he says in this text, he said, now notice what he says, look not every man. Here's the answer here to how we have unity, peace, and harmony. Paul said to them, look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. A preoccupation with one's own personal cares and an ignoring of the needs and concern of others will result in a disconnected and a distant congregation. Yeah, when Horace Stroud is only concerned about Horace Stroud and not other people, what happens is this congregation becomes disconnected. Look not every man on his own thing. Look at other people and their situations. How can we help them? How can we help them? Yeah. The way we truly draw closer to one another is to increase our loving awareness of one another. Yeah. That comes through communication. Because Psalmist writer said, behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren. And when you see the word brethren, it's talking about sisterin too. When you say brother, he's talking about male and female there. Yeah, not just brothers. He said, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. Our sister did an outstanding job. I got to say that again on yesterday. And I want to commend the brothers, those that was available that came. Unity. Working together. How good, how pleasant it is when we dwell together in unity. Turn your Bibles to John chapter 13. See what Jesus said as I close. John 13. Jesus said this. And this is the Highland Heights. John 13. John 13. Look at verse number 34 of John 13. Verse 34. John 13. Jesus had given them commands, but he said this to them. A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. Notice what he said now. He said, by this, when we love one another, he said, shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have loved one to another. That's it, Holland Heights. That's it. As I said before, there should be nobody walking around here with, if I have an issue with anybody, I need to go to them in love. Go to them in love. Jesus gave us two ways. If I have an ought against someone, Matthew 18, 15, go to them in love. Share with them. They won't hear you, get you two or three more, that their word may be established. However, if Jesus said in Matthew 5, if you realize that somebody has something, that you've done something wrong, you take the initiative, you go to them. Brother, can I talk to you a minute? I want to apologize. I wronged you, and I apologize. Do you accept my apology? Yeah. Understand that only God can forgive sin, but you just ask the person their pardon. Holland Heights, that's how we do it here. That's how we want to do it. Want people to come in and see the love that we have one for another. You know, don't want no hell where people got, well, you know, so-and-so don't speak to so-and-so. How do they don't speak? Both of them got mouths. What do you mean they don't speak? Yeah. No. We got to understand that. And then also, if I'm one and I have, because sometimes personalities get in the way. Amen. But one thing I learned about that, somebody got to humble themselves in that. Somebody got to see the betterment, humble themselves. Man, we're going to work this thing out. We're going to work together. Yeah. But Stroud got to do that. Yeah, by example, lead by example, doing that. Have these conversations to bring us close together so the congregation can see it. Amen? Yeah, yeah. Again, Paul said to them, let nothing be done through strife or vainglory. But we got to love one another. Jesus said how good and pleasant it is when we dwell together. And if you're here this morning visiting, you've heard a message to Christians. That letter was written to Christians. And now we want you to become a Christian. Amen? The Bible teaches us that. Five acts. We talk about five acts of worship. There's five acts that a person must do in order to be saved. That's the plan called the plan of salvation, to be saved from my sin. Five things. And Luke, all these things are what Jesus said. Jesus said, Luke 11, 28, John 6, 29, Luke 13, 3, Matthew 10, 32, Mark 16, 15, and 16, and Acts 2, 47. What did Jesus say? Jesus said first, Luke 11, 28. He said, but he said, yea, rather, blessed are they that hear the word of God. You got to hear the word of God, then you got to keep it in your mind. First thing I got to do, I got to hear. But there's something specific that I got to hear. In this case, you're hearing this audience this morning, and I'm going to share it with you. Secondly, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him who he sent. So you got to believe that God sent Jesus Christ. You got to believe that. You can't go to heaven if you don't believe that. It starts with you believing, based on the scripture, that Jesus lived on this earth. You got to believe it. Thirdly, Jesus said, I tell you nay, but except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And that repentance means you got to turn to God. Whatever life you've been living before now, now you got to turn to God. I'm sorry. Turn to God. Yeah, you got to repent. And he said, if you don't repent, you're going to perish. If you don't repent, the word perish here means to be lost. You cannot go to heaven if you don't repent. No man, no person at the age of accountability, if you don't repent of your sins. That's why Jesus said, if you die in your sin, where I am, you cannot come. Okay, Brother Charles, so I got to hear something. I got to believe it, that Jesus, that God sent Jesus. I got to repent. Okay, I repent. I turn from the where I've been living. What else I got to do? Jesus said you got to confess. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men. You don't confess your sin. The Bible tells us all have sinned and come short. You don't confess your sin. You confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. He said, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. So you confess to God, excuse me, you confess Jesus. You'll come here this morning and you'll confess and you'll make the statement, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's the confession that you make. Okay? I'm going to come down, I'm going to confess, I believe Jesus Christ is the Son of God. What I got to do next? Then Jesus said in Mark 6, 15 and 16, he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. The gospel has three facts. 1 Corinthians 15, 1 through 4. The facts are that Jesus Christ died for all of our sins. Secondly, they buried him in a tomb. He rose again the third day, never to die again. Yeah, that's what Jesus did. And what you have to do, come down this morning, you die to a sin. Jesus died for sin. You have to die to a sin. How do I die to sin? I got to be baptized. I heard the gospel. Now, I got to be baptized. I repent of my sin. Now, I got to be water baptized for the forgiveness of all my past sin. Then the Lord, know what the Bible said. Jesus said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Nobody is of the age of accountability is safe in their sins until they are water baptized. But you also have to be taught right and ought to be baptized right. I can't be taught wrong in denominationalism and then be baptized right. I got to be taught right. Amen, somebody. Yeah. So I believe it. I want to be baptized and ought to be saved. And that goes back to my original scripture in Acts 2:42. Bible said, praising God, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. No one is saved until they are added to the church, because that's where salvation is. So if there's someone today that would like to be water baptized for the remission of all your past sins and what you understand by faith, when Jesus was on the cross and they pierced him in the side, out came blood and water. We got the water right here. It's ready. By faith, Christ's blood is in the water, because without the shedding of blood, Hebrews 9:22, there is no forgiveness of sin. So by faith, Christ's blood is in the water. You got to get in the water and be baptized for the forgiveness of all your past sin. Then the Lord, not man, the Lord would add you to the only church in the Bible, to the church of Christ. The Lord will add you to the church. Amen. After you complete your obedience and baptism, there's someone today that would like to put Christ on in baptism. We bid you to come, and together we stand and sing. Come down if you want to be water baptized and added to the church. Have your sins
God
forgiven.
Sent his son. They called him Jesus. He came to heal and forgive. He lived and died to buy my pardon. Worth the living just because.